Now, there's an old and familiar story about how important knowing about complicated things can be. And you may have heard a version that went like this, something like in 1908, Nikola Tesla goes to visit Henry Ford at his factory and discover there was something very complicated going on. There's a mechanical issue that no one could figure out. So Ford asked Tesla if you could help identify the problem area, and very complicated. And Ford's team of engineers had been working for months, and there's a problem costing them hundreds of thousands of dollars, and an entire team of engineers is exhausted and confused and overwhelmed when Tesla allegedly, this is probably some sort of apocalyptical, it's probably a parable of some sort, but he walks up to a boilerplate and draws a small X in chalk on one of the plates. An engineer taps the X with his hammer, and the machine springs to life, complicated thing working perfectly, and Ford was thrilled and tells him to send an invoice for his skill. And when the bill arrives in the mail, it was $10,000, which seemed pretty steep way back then. And Ford is like, wait, you just walked in and wrote an X. It took you a minute, and I'm pretty sure chalk is really, really cheap. So he says, send me an itemized bill. So Tesla sends in another bill. It says he's charging $1 for marking the plate with an X. Then he said he's charging $9,999 for knowing where to put it. Because understanding how complicated things are is a valuable and powerful skill. Now, today's passage in Ephesians is about knowing what you don't know. And by reading it, you can start to understand where to focus. And when you read the book of Ephesians, you find this prayer to be sort of a logical reaction to discovering who God is. So far in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul has talked for chapters about how holy, big, powerful, loving, and wise our God is. And now, the Apostle Paul offers a brave, assertive prayer that we can learn from. This passage puts a chalk X on the part of our hearts and mind that needs adjusted, that seem overwhelmed or powerless. And in the prayer we're about to read, God helps us know what to do, know how to pray when God seems hard to understand and your circumstances seem overwhelming. This is Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 14 through 21. Paul writes, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, high, and deep is the love of God, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is worth unpacking. Let's just take this a verse at a time. So verse 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives his name." Now, big picture, God might just be an even bigger than you think he is. Now, this is the conclusion of the verse. Even those of us who come in a snowstorm to worship, you've made time in your busy schedule, you come in a room like this or online to dedicate your time to the Lord, even us, make too little of God. And we make, at times, too much of our personal cares and fears. Commentators unpack the verse, and they talk a lot about the posture here. Kneeling is a universal sign of humility. You may think about the Bible story of Daniel, who prays three times a day, kneeling before the Lord. There's a bunch of other examples of people in the Bible who kneel. It's showing humility. Not everybody kneels. Jesus, of course, at times raises his eyes to the heavens while standing. Lots of people fall on their faces before God's presence. It's a simple point, though. Don't take God or prayer for granted. He's a big deal. A lot of commentators talk about how, like Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, the Apostle Paul calls God Father, which is true, but I'm fascinated by what Paul says that is different from the Lord's Prayer. Think about verse 15. Instead of saying, our Father who art in heaven, he says, the Father. And he says, from whom every family in heaven derives its name. Which is sort of a strange thing to say. Ever think about that sentence? But Paul's making such a big point. I'm not going to rush over this line. Let me just take a minute to break down what Paul says about God. Heaven and earth, obviously talking about every imaginable group and space, people on earth that who are powerful and influential or unseen, and then groups or families in heaven, this spiritual world, and in Ephesus, this spiritual world was a big deal. Now, here's how it worked way back then. All the things that seem powerful and unexplainable got personified. And in Ephesus, everywhere you'd look, there were worship places and altars with labels on them called powerful forces. So you've got the god of war, the god of love, the god of finances. It's almost like in the psyche of the ancients, they sort of said, look, we don't really understand why weather works. not that we do now, I guess. Maybe there's a spirit that just decides to make thunder when he's angry. We can't explain. I don't know. Will Russia invade Ukraine? I don't know. You don't know. You know who knows. They would attach a name to that thing, the god of war. When the ancients couldn't understand forces that were outside the control, they personified them. And it seems a little weird, like we don't have little idols sitting around until you realize that we kind of do the same thing. We have a lot of things in the world we don't understand. So much of our lives, like in fact, one of the reasons why we get insecure or worried or fearful is that we encounter so many things that we can't predict and we are less capable of understanding. And we don't really use the labels of like multi-divinities or idols, but we still have the exact same lack of control. We've got better tools for explaining weather, but we're wrong sometimes. We've got better medical tools, but as a nurse I was talking to said, we just don't know what happens when someone gets in the hospital. My daughter Colette, I will tuck her into bed, and for years now, which seems crazy, she said the same thing. I go, what should we pray for? And she says, Daddy, let's pray that COVID goes away. She talks about a virus like it's a person. And I know what she means. She doesn't want to wear masks. She wants to go to school. You all know, you know, she's not talking about a person. And I could go, you know, you're grammatically wrong, Colette. It's a virus. It's a public health crisis. How about instead of praying that COVID takes a hike, like COVID doesn't hike, it's not a person. Let's just pray that people don't get sick or the hospitals don't get full or that people don't die. It's so silly to pretend that COVID is like an annoying house guest who can't take a hint. It's not a person. Of course, I'm not that annoying about it. I know exactly what she means. She means the same thing that people in the ancient world meant. You personify things that seem out of control. And that's what a lot of us do. Now, we think about ancient people doing that with idols everywhere, and we think they're primitive and naive, and it seems really silly. But Paul's audience personified almost anything they didn't have good explanations for. War, poverty, sex, crops, lots of small g gods. I don't have to tell you about this. In fact, as silly as that seems back then, even now in 2022, there is an ancient god who gets his own day, and it's tomorrow, I think. Some of you are going to get cards with little naked baby who comes from heaven with an archery apparatus shooting people. You know why they do that? People talk about Cupid because we can't really explain how love and relationships work at the end of the day. There's still a lot of mystery in the world. So even today, people are like, sure, why not? Let's blame a naked baby because they shouldn't have weapons, which, I mean, the more you think about it, the more strange it seems. But the Apostle Paul says something. You just got to try and wrap your mind around this. There's something true about powerful people that you can see. And the same thing is true about unexplainable, mysterious forces and causes and factors that you can describe, but you can't predict or explain. And here's what Paul says about this. Every group in heaven, think about trends and forces and unpredictable things. They have that. They have something in common with every powerful person. Here's what it is. Everything derives its name from God, which is another weird thing to explain, right? Here's how you need to understand naming in the Bible. Whenever you see naming in the Bible, you are looking at a power play. Think about Genesis, right? In Genesis, God makes Adam to be a ruler. You see verses like Genesis 1:26. God made Adam and Eve to rule over everything. And when you kind of read the story and go, well, how exactly did Adam do that? You know what Adam did when he ruled the world? First thing he did was he gives everything a name. And we tell that as an adorable story to kids. Adam goes around and naming animals. But the reason why Adam names the animals is that it is an ancient Near Eastern power play. In that moment, he's saying, I rule over all these things. In the Bible, check it out. Whenever someone gives someone else a name or a place, they're giving a power play. They're saying, I own you. I have power over you. You must obey me. In the Bible, when a prisoner takes or is taken, when a king comes in and takes a prisoner, the first thing they do is they change names. Think about Daniel in the Bible, captured by the king of Babylon. You know what they do to Daniel when he's captured? They give him a new name. Belteshazzar. And it wasn't like Danny was really hard to pronounce. We're going to give you a much more difficult name to say. It was a display of power. When you name something in the ancient Near East, it was a way of saying, I own you. I'm in control of you. I am powerful. You need to bow to me. That's what happened. It's actually kind of true today. Like, if you have a baby, do you know who gets to name the kid? The parents, usually whichever one has the most influence. Sometimes I'll talk to grandparents who are like, I can't believe they're naming the kid whatever. You don't get a vote. I'm sorry. It's not your baby. You get to name your kid. You get to name your business. You only name things you control. Yesterday, we went with the cadets to a snow derby, and the address I put in my GPS was 12 Caparis Lane. Anybody want to guess who controls that plot of land? Right? The comparison. When you named something, especially back then, it was a power play. You're saying, I control this. I own it. And when Paul says, derives its name, Paul's not just saying, you know, God likes to label things. He's saying anything you could see. Powerful people, powerful things you can't explain, and you may label it serendipity or luck or COVID or inflation or affluence or the world stage. Paul says all those things are owned by God. Every family in heaven and on earth derives its name is another way of saying God is in control. Think about a verse like Isaiah 40, verse 6. The prophet says, lift your eyes, look to the heavens. Who made all that? Who created all this? He who brings out the starry host one by one. See what God does to the universe? He calls them each by name, not because he knows astronomy, but because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. This is our God. And when you pray, you got to think about this. Our God is big enough to claim and own and control everything you could think about. He starts off by just acknowledging that there is no force in heaven or in earth. There's no trends. There's no accidents. There is no surprise that catches God off guard. Nothing is out of his control. So here's what Paul prays to this amazing, holy, holy God. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you, followers of Christ, through power or with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Now, if you've read Ephesians, this sounds an awful lot like chapter 1. The difference is in chapter 1, Paul just prays that readers might know that God is powerful. Here, Paul takes it up a step. He says, he just prays that God would give people like us strength. This is an amazing prayer. He's going, God, you're rich, you're powerful. Can you give some of that to us, right? If you're so powerful, can you help us out a little bit? And if I were writing the Bible, if I were writing a prayer, here's how I'd finish the verse. God, you're powerful, you're rich. Can you give us some of that so that I don't have problems anymore, right? You're so powerful, you're in control of all these things. I got a list of prayer requests I probably dropped. Can you give me good answers to all of them? Can you give us influence so we could pass godly laws? Can you help vulnerable people? Can you help us to elect godly leaders to do more good to more people? And look, there are lots of prayers like that. In the Bible, you find people asking and getting help for military battles and for healing. But I'll be honest, the Apostle Paul finishes that request very differently than I would. He says, give us strength so that, see what we do with the strength? Here's where Paul is asking for God's power to impact us so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Like, he's not praying like David might for military strength. He's not praying for strength against battles or disease or obstacles. The Apostle Paul prays for inner strength. God, and this isn't the only passage, but God often seemed more concerned about your heart and your thoughts than the battles that you face. And this is not a prayer that people would avoid storms or suffering. He's not even praying for himself that he gets out of prison. He prays that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power all together with all the Lord's people. I just got to talk about this. Rooted is a metaphor about plants. Established is the image from a construction metaphor. The same idea, right? Both ideas have that the idea that you would have big roots and a firm foundation, rooted, established, so that whenever you feel anxious or worried or your world gets rocked, when you feel like you have to escape, that you would feel strong. Rooted, established, same idea, right? You may have two plants that look exactly the same, but do you know how you can tell what your root system is like? Wait for a storm. Wait for a drought. All of a sudden, roots are really important. You can have two buildings. They both look great. But do you know how you can tell whether a house is built on sand or on a rock? Wait for a storm. Paul prays, and we should too, that Christ would be such a big part of our lives, day by day, moment by moment, that when we get struck by storms or doubt or waves or disappointment or struggle, in those moments, God's power is shown off when Christians going through hardship stand firm because God's power has given us roots and a foundation in love. Now, the word love is where it gets hard. Because you know what you feel like when you go through a storm? You know, you know what it feels like when you get disappointed. And you hear that you are a child, that your Father is the Almighty God, and you hear all this language about God's power and his sovereignty, and you are rightfully kneeling going, God, you're so big. But once you start to grasp that part, you've got another question coming like a freight train. And it's, was God mad at me? Like, how come my life looks like this if my dad is so rich and so powerful? This is where it's really hard for people in their faith. And the Apostle Paul just goes there. The problem is we cannot grasp how God loves us. See, it's rooted in love. How can we be rooted if God loves us? And Paul could have said, if what we say, maybe just to ourselves, he could have said, God, all right, so you're so powerful, could you just say, storms be still? You could, right? You could just say, cancer be gone. You could say, family drama stopped. You could say, whatever, why am I still looking at a mess here? That's what's so hard to understand. And here's how God answers that question. If you've ever asked that question, God, if you're so big, how come my obstacles seem so big? If you love me, what's going on here? What Paul says is that in those moments, you can only see a small section of God's love. And God has a much bigger picture, a more complicated thing going on than you can see. Like, it's like, you know, you talk about the stars. Like, I don't know that much about stars. I know that the one that I could probably find is a North Star. Do you know how far away the North Star is? It's 323 light years away. In other words, if you go outside on a clear night and see one of the brightest stars in the sky, you're looking at light that started traveling to you over 300 years ago. And he's got to think, a God who controls that, who thinks in those terms, he's got a much bigger view of things than we do. And what Paul says is what you need the most, what you need most of all, the thing that will give you power and peace and serendipity, the thing that will give you peace is not, maybe not to see God's plan, but just to understand how big it is. That God's way of showing love to you is a lot bigger than what you might do in that moment. And the Apostle Paul, like, just really poetically gives you four dimensions, right? You can't see how big God's love is. The best thing you could pray for is just to understand how wide and long and high and deep God's love is. And just to not even see what's going on, just know how big it is. And to see the love, that see the text there, that surpasses knowledge. You know what surpasses knowledge means? It means you can't really understand it. You see the storms in front of you, but you may not see the plan. But if you could see how big God's plan is, put your head around eternity, you would, to use Paul's language, you could be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God. In simple terms, God looks at the complex machinery of the universe, sees you in it with all of your exhaustion and confusion, and he knows exactly what's going on, and in his wisdom, can put a chalk X and say, this is what you need. You may not understand why, but here's what you need to pray for. This is what we all need from God desperately. It comes down to two requests. One, pray that God would strengthen our lives with his power. Paul just asks for it. God, I feel weak. Could you give me strength? And the message for the Ephesians is, and for us, is that we are more vulnerable than we think we are. We may think we've got the world in our hands, but God does. When you read Ephesians, we may have at one time been dominated by the power of sin, but God rescues us. We need God desperately to help us from ourselves, to live for something bigger than ourselves, to love God and our neighbors. We need God to be rooted and established so we're not knocked flat by storms and waves. That's what we need to pray for. God, I feel weak and vulnerable. Could you help me? That's the first thing Paul prays for. The second thing we need to pray for is that God would just, you know, short of telling us exactly how everything fits, God, can we just see how big your love is? And somehow there's this language of establishing our lives, that each moment, each thought, each thing we encounter, that we would experience it through the lens of God's love. That God isn't just incredibly powerful, but that his love is just as big and hard to comprehend as his power. And yet we only see a tiny segment of what we think God's love would look like. God's love would look like him answering whatever I'm asking him. But God's love is as complex as sending his son to suffer and die for us. God's plan involves lots of moving parts over lots of time to accomplish something bigger than we're capable of seeing. God's love is more than just his sentiment. It's his actions. It's his choosing us, redeeming us, sacrificing himself for us, purifying us, bringing us closer to him, being close to us, and in some way preparing us during the short time that we call life for eternity. And maybe what would help you the most right now is seeing how big and how loving God is. And just, it won't give us all the answers, but just to show us how big and how much God loves us, has the ability to flood us with peace and enable us to worship him with joy. That in spite of whatever waves hit us, whatever difficulty we encounter in ourselves or in our circumstances, that we are able to serve the Lord just knowing how much he loves us. And I think this is what God has to tell each of us today. And I try to imagine how really seeing how big God's love is would change each of us individually. And I'm not really sure what you're going through or how it might help. I did try to imagine what stories I could tell to flesh that out. But I'll just be honest, I don't know exactly how seeing God's love would change you and your stories. But here's what I can tell you. I can tell you, if you really started to see how much God loves, I think we'd get some wisdom about how we should pray. I think it would give us more inner strength. And I think it would give us what we need to live our lives powerfully rooted and established in a way that we could do exactly what God has called us to do as people who are loved by the Father, the maker of heaven and earth, who calls us each his own. And that, I think, might be enough. So Father in heaven, as we encounter so many different things in our lives, in our world, in the news, in our interpersonal relationships, in whatever you've called us to do, can you help us to have the inner strength, the fortitude, the foundation that comes from knowing that you are powerful more than we understand, and you are loving more than we could comprehend? I pray that with all the other things that could possibly worry us, could you help us to follow you, and may you be all we need. Father, give us the strength to hang on, to love you and to love others. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.